Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Well, we want to welcome you to today's show of the American College Experience. This is Jason Haynes. I'm the host of the show. I'm also the Chief Executive Officer of the UR Tennis Network, and we're so glad that you joined us today. We have a wonderful show. We're going to interview Coach Rolando Vargas. He is from Auburn University in Montgomery, and they were a national champion this year. So we look forward to having him on and him sharing those experiences that he got from his tennis team this year and how their journey was and what happened and all that good stuff. We're going to approach that here shortly. We've got some unfinished business in the news category when it comes to championships themselves. And last week we were able to have Coach Dash Cannell on. Dash, remember, from TJC, and they were the only team in America that had double dipped. He took the men and the women to nationals and won. And we gave it a week's time, and lo and behold, there was another team that double dipped, and it was in the Division III category. And we're going to pursue this coach Dan Greenberg. Dan looks very young, quite an honor here, this young, to double dip at the NCAA Division III championships. His teams went out and won the national championship, respectively. In the men's division, the Williams team defeated Claremont Mud Scripps 5-2, and that was the day of our last broadcast, and they were in Kalamazoo, Michigan. I'm not quite sure how this worked, but they were having the championships at the same time, men's and women's. But Coach Greenberg, he manages to get the women, and they advance to the championship. And they defeat Emory 5-2 to win the national championship. So our goal now is to get Coach Dan Greenberg here on the air and see if we can have his story put to the test here and see if we can find out the goods on what was the secret. Why was Williams able to double dip and get the championship as we do with the other coaches? What makes them successful and what makes their program successful? If you remember, I used to do a show called Diversity in College Tennis. We've changed that show now to the American College Experience and wanted to give it to you guys in a little different fashion, and I hope you'll enjoy the presentation. So we did have some other news out there. We did have the NCAA Division I singles champions. When we finished last time, if you'll remember, Virginia had beaten UCLA on a really weird kind of a call to win the men's championship, and Stanford defeated Texas A&M to win the women's championship. So after they got done with that, then they move on at the NCAA Division I's with the individual champions. And there was a first there, which is pretty exciting. That would have been that Ohio State got their first singles title, NCAA individual champion. So we're excited for them. The gentleman who won it, whoops, was Blaz Rola, and I'm sure that I said that wrong, but he is from Slovenia. So all you Slovenians that listen, I apologize. I did have a Slovenian a couple of times, but I couldn't get the accent right. It had to do with the Texas side of this. So, Blaz Rola, he's from, let's see here, from Ohio State. He played Jameer Jenkins of Virginia in the final. Rola had a tough time in the first set. It went to a tiebreaker. And 6-2 in the tiebreaker. He seemed to have the match in hand, but then lost the next 2 points on serve, then the following two to Jameer. And he faced 2 set points against him and thought that the guy might crack, and he fought off the set points and then got a gift with Jenkins double faulted to allow him to win the tiebreaker 10-8. So Rola won that heartfelt tiebreaker 10-8 and then kind of cruised, and I'm not going to say cruised lightly, to a 6-4 victory in the second. Remember, they were playing at the University of Illinois, and that was the first time ever in the history of Ohio State that they had a player to win the NCAA singles championship history. Remember, other people that have won it, John McEnroe, Bob Bryan, so who knows what happens here to Rola, could be propel him into some professional ranks. We know that the college level needs professional tennis players. We need to get more kids out in the college, from the college ranks into the professional world. It would just seem like it would be a natural step here. If you can win the American college system, which should be the second hardest circuit on the tour, then maybe you have a real good chance at winning some matches out there on the regular pro tour. I don't know, though. We've kind of run through a drought here where we haven't had a lot of NCAA singles champions make it on the pro tour. I mean, done well. Benjamin Becker, I believe he's one of those college success stories. John Isner, another success story. But I don't believe they were champions, and I may be wrong. I know that Baylor had one at one time. So maybe this Blaz Rola, this Slovenian, maybe he can propel the NCAAs forward. I hope that Jameer Jenkins also sees his chances to go out on the professional ranks. It hungers him a little bit because he is a good player. You can make it to the final and lose and still propel yourself forward. So I hope that he will do that. And we'll just see what happens. But an exciting day definitely from Ohio State. Not notorious for being a tennis powerhouse early on. Now under the direction of Ty Tucker, the university has propelled themselves as a place to be for tennis. I mean, if you're recruiting now, you've got to, and let me check this and make sure. Yeah, he's a junior, so he can come back. Then perhaps you should think about going to Ohio State because you get to play the NCAA singles champion every day in practice. It's not a bad way to sell it. Rola just dropped one set in the whole tournament, and that was in the quarterfinal. The kid from Duke, so I'm going to bet that was a pretty good kid. He had a big serve, this Rola kid, and that was what helped him in the championships, and it must have been on. So congratulations to him. Which leads us to the women's champion, and that would have been Miss Stanford, from Stanford, Miss Nicole Gibbs. She also was a repeat champion. She was an NCAA singles champion the year before. So she repeated. She was a team champion with the Stanford, again, being A&M. So this is one of those people that's got a lot going for her. I hope that she decides to pursue her NCAA wins and go on to the Pro Tour a little bit further. So I think we're ready here. I think we've got Coach Vargas. So he was on the line. Now he disappeared. So we'll see if we can get him back on the line. Coach Vargas, we hope you're out there, and we hope that you'll call in. We need you to call back in. Anyway, let's see here. Here's what we got. There, I think Coach Vargas is back on the line. Let me see if I can bring him in. Now, I'm going to play a quick commercial, and then I'll bring Coach Vargas in. So hold on just 1 second, everybody.
This is Jason Haynes, CEO of the UR Tennis Network. We are proud to announce the 2013 summer camp season has begun. At USSportCamps.com, you can plan out a Nike tennis camp experience. These are offered to both adults and juniors for day and overnight camps. Visit USSportCamps.com to pick up a brochure and join over 50,000 youth who say yes to our summer camp experience. Join a Nike tennis camp at www.USSportCamps.com or call us at 1-800-NIKE-CAMPS. In 2013, let our summer camps be your victory. Choose the Nike tennis camps and take your game to the next level.
All right, very good. Now we're going to bring Coach Vargas in here in just a second. If you have a question for him today, we want to remind you that you can call into the show. That call-in number is 714-583-6853. So if Coach Vargas gives you some good information here and you want to question him and get further and find out how to get there, then we'll patch you in. So we look forward to you calling in today. Again, 714-583-6853. Hello, Coach Vargas. Are you there?
Yes, I am. I was just listening. I just didn't want to interrupt or say anything that I wasn't supposed to.
We're excited to have you on the air today. You are a national champion tennis coach this year.
Yeah. This is fun. It was a great year. At the beginning we were struggling with injuries, and we had to overcome adversity, but we got it all together for nationals, so it was really good. And with the guys, we were also very close. We had championship points, but, sometimes, you need a little bit, I guess, a little luck or a little something extra to win that one. But it's just very good experience, and being back in the final, it's a great feeling also. So,
Coach,
it was a great year.
I would imagine so. You were able to get both teams up there. Now, for people that don't know where you're at Auburn University in Montgomery there in Alabama. Is that correct?
Correct. We're here, in the beautiful Alabama. The weather is great. We're here in the capital in Montgomery. So, we're close to the beach, to Florida. We're close to Atlanta, close to Birmingham, close to some nice places. So, we're here in Montgomery.
Now, some people may not understand this. I was a small-time college coach myself, but I know the history here of Auburn University in Montgomery when it comes to tennis, Coach. But why don't you let people know just a little bit history-wise about the tennis there at Auburn University Montgomery?
Yeah, I'm actually really fortunate to be in a place like this. I mean, the tradition, the history, there's been great coaches here, we have a total of 9 national championships with the guys. We've been in a lot of finals. We also have the record, I don't know how many weeks, where we've been ranked 1 in the last 12 years. And with the girls, we have 13 national titles. That's really impressive. And in the last, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. In the last 10 years, we won 9 national championships, and we were in the final. So we won the last three. So we've been kind of like in a run. So, you know, the program is very, very, very successful. My number one in the girls, she has a winning streak of 60 matches.
Wow.
So she's ranked one in the nation. And, I mean, great, great, great players. We have a very strong team.
Yes, sir. Now, and you operate in the NAI division, which is an outstanding division when it comes to tennis. How does it affect your recruiting, coach? Do you are you able to attract a good quality of player there to Montgomery?
Well, you know, I'm very fortunate, like I said, to kind of be in a successful program. A lot of kids are interested in, you know, coming to a very strong program. You know, we're in a very strong conference too in the NAIA, the Southern States Athletic Conference, with teams like William Carey, Brenau, Belhaven, College Coast of Georgia. We had a lot of teams in that conference being ranked in the nation, so that also makes it a little easier, because, you know, I try to keep the schedule as competitive as possible. So, you know, all the kids that are interested in coming, I let them know about how strong their schedule is. You know, it's probably one of the strongest in the NAIA. I believe it's the strongest. We play a lot of Division II teams, strong Division IIIs. So we really play the best teams in the nation. We play a couple of D1s as well. So, you know, that's always something helpful for recruiting, you know, because, you know, it's tough to compete with NCAA, but some of these kids are non-qualifiers. So being one of the top programs here in NAIA kind of makes it a little bit easier in a way.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you have been there now for 3 years. You were you a player there before, though, coach?
Well, yes, correct. I was here as a coach for 3 years, but I actually played in a Division I school really close to here, Troy University in Troy, Alabama.
Okay. And came back home kind of the alma mater and are helping out the team. I think that's great. Now, let's talk about your men here just for a little bit. You were a national finalist. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, we also had a very successful season with the guys. I mean, like I said, we had 3 championship points. We were up 4-3. We just needed one more point, and we had two matches still on. Two of my players were there, and we were up in both matches. But, you know, it was just a tough one, and like we were competing, and we had our chances. But, you know, I think Embry will show a little bit of experience at the end, and they were able to come with the win, but it could have gone either way.
Yeah. Now, do you at the NAIA level, do you play on a 7-point scale or do you play a 9-point scale?
No, we play a 9-point scale. You know, the team that reaches 5 points wins.
Yes,
so,
sir.
You know, every doubles points counts. So that makes it a little bit more interesting. We actually were in a position of going 3-0 after doubles. We won at 1-3, and we were up a break in the number 2, but we weren't able to pull it off. So, you know, that's kind of the little thing about Division II or NAIA, is that every doubles points counts.
Yeah. Well, I like it that way, coach. I like for each match to count. I think it's important for those kids that play to feel like they've contributed to the team win or loss, one way or the other.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for instance, I played D1. I was there in Troy, and, you know, obviously you play doubles just for 1 point. And, you see, we always kind of practice doubles, but we always felt like we needed singles. But here,
yeah,
in the NAIA level, NCAA D2, you know, it makes it even more important, because you have so many players that are very good at doubles that are probably not as good in singles. But then, since doubles is kind of like very important and kind of like, you know, it can set the tone for the rest of the match, then you can take advantage of that. And we practice a lot of doubles, and, you know, we know that it's very important to kind of, you know, practice doubles. So it makes it easier with the team to kind of focus on doubles and practice and get that mindset of really, really improving in doubles.
Well, that's an interesting point, coach. Do you think as the year goes along that you see your players become more well-rounded, all-around players because of that?
I mean, no question in my mind. I mean, I had a couple of players, actually my number one He's actually number one in the nation, Nicolás Piñones. He had a tremendous season. He only had one loss against a kid from Barry. Barry ended up winning the NCAA D2. He lost 7-6 the third. He's a very good player, but you know, when it comes to doubles, you know, it took him a little bit time to adjust, you know, his game, because he's kind of like from Spain, likes to kind of rally a lot, and then like transferring that type of style to doubles is tricky, you know. And right now he's actually been able to adjust, and he was able to do very well. But he was playing number three in doubles, and he was able to get confidence. But the transition of being a good singles player to doubles takes a little bit, and he's been doing great. So I definitely think that playing doubles and obviously playing singles makes you like a better overall player.
Yes, sir. I agree with that. I think that it's important. I was at the community college level. We played the 9-point scale, and just like you, it developed certain things within a player's attitude that made them more aggressive in certain points in a match, and you needed that.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. You know, it makes your team tougher. You know, for instance, I consider my team very, very strong singles players, and we were working a lot in doubles. And finally, in the final, we were able to turn it around and go up 2-1 against a very good team. Because, you know, when we played Barry, when we played these good D2 programs, we were always down 2-1. So after kind of working hard in that doubles, we were able to take that lead in the final. Unfortunately for us, we couldn't win the whole thing, but definitely that put us in a position of winning. So doubles for me, you know, it's so key. I mean, it helps the team also work their volleys, work on their returns, and they know that every point counts. That's really key, because sometimes you're in a D1, and then you're winning, and then your other two matches are done, and then you don't get to finish your match. So that's always kind of overwhelming, you know, when you want to kind of finish that match and nothing happens, you know. So here in the NAIA level, I mean, it's good that no matter what match you have, even if you're losing or winning, you're going to get to finish the three doubles matches.
Yeah, yeah. And it definitely helps in the long run to get those players aggressive. You know, I know that you, like me, we get some international players that like to play on the baseline a lot, and to get them to transition to the net during some points, boy, sure does make a match go a lot easier at times, right, Coach?
Yeah, for sure, especially like you said, international. You know, I think the Americans, they have a more aggressive game. You know, they have big serves, big forehand, big inside out, big volleys. They want to put the volley away kind of early, which is good too. But then you have these internationals that come from clay that are used to kind of grind a lot. So obviously, playing that doubles really helps them, you know, to be more aggressive, to try to keep points a little bit more simple, making them a little bit faster, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Coach, where did you play your national championships at?
It was played in Mobile, Alabama. So we were kind of like very close. We're like 3 hours away. So we were kind of looking forward to it. Like, the weather is kind of the same as in Montgomery. So, you know, they have a big facility there with, like, 50 courts. So when you have so many matches going on, it's good to have a big facility.
Now, Coach, you do both the men and the women there at Auburn University. How at AUM, I'll start calling it AUM. That's a little bit easier. Everybody knows it by that way anyway. So, but how does practice work for you, Coach? Do you practice those boys and girls together?
I mean, that's a very good question, you know, because, you know, obviously I have two teams, you know, men and women, you know, and, you know, the girls are coached totally different to the guys.
Yes,
but,
sir.
You know, we were so competitive that, you know, I can have some of my girls practice with the guys, you know, and that's also good for the girls to kind of raise their level playing with some of the guys. So I try to keep it as kind of one team. We practice together, you know, we drill together, and, you know, they can actually hear kind of like my philosophy, the way I like to work together. So it saves a little bit of time and energy. And in my world, if you save a little bit of time and energy, it's great, you know.
Yeah. All right, Coach. Now, I looked at your women's team, or at least the record of the women's team, and that was something that caught my eye right from the get-go. You, Coach, you barely had a winning season with those women.
Yeah, I mean, it was actually kind of funny, you know, because at the beginning of the season, I was struggling with some illnesses and injuries where a couple of top of my players had to be sidelined, and that made a big impact on my team. And we had a couple of losses that we shouldn't have had if we had all the roster in. But what that did to my team was it made them tougher, you know. It was a little bit of adversity we faced. They didn't like losing because the previous season we only had two losses. We went 26-2 last year. So, you know, obviously the girls are not really, you know, used to lose in a way, and they don't like losing. So when they were having these losses, they were just like, you know, working harder in practice and getting a little bit more mentally tough. So once I got my team back just a week before conference tournament, then they came out, like, you know, with a lot of fire. You know, they were hungry to do well. And actually, nationals, they did really, really well. They really surprised me because, you know, we didn't have that in the season, you know, because we had injuries, like I said. But then having the whole team together, and they all were, like, they're in a mission, you know. And they ended up winning, I think, the last 7 matches in a row, you know, against really good opponents. So it was good to kind of end up in those terms being, you know, undefeated in national tournament. Whether it mattered the most.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up, Coach. You got them playing well when it mattered the most. And I know that schedule, when you look at it for you, is extremely tough. I mean, you do play some Division I schools. Can you tell us who you played through the year?
Yeah, definitely. We played University of Tennessee Martin. That was a D1 school. We also played University of New Orleans. That's when I played with 4 players, my number 1 and 3. We're injured there, so, you know, playing against a D1 team shorthanded is really tough. So
wow.
We had a loss there. But, you know, like I said, it made us tougher. But we had those teams that were D1. We also played a lot of D2 teams, Lynn, Armstrong, West Florida, Rollins. We also played Abilene Christian from Texas.
Yeah.
And we were going to play Armstrong Atlantic. They were like number 1 in the nation at some point, but then they lost to Barry. But then Barry lost to them again in nationals. Armstrong ended up winning with the girls. We were gonna play them as well, but then it got rained out. But we definitely play very competitive teams. So some of these losses were against really good teams. Being shorthanded was tough, you know. But I knew that the players that were playing against these teams maybe weren't gonna win the whole thing. But if we got a couple of wins, that was going to be good. And, you know, every time we played, let's say we played Barry, we got 2 wins at 1, you know, 1 in singles, 1 in doubles. So, you know, the way I faced it was like we got to face it as if we get any wins, it's good, you know, because it was going to be tough to win with 4 or 5 girls against really good teams. So we got a couple of wins there that made it kind of good for some of the leaders of the team.
Now, Coach, were these tournaments going on at the same time? Were the men and the women going on at the same time?
Yes, that was kind of actually draining mentally, you know. It was making me so tired because you start at 9 o'clock, obviously. You got to get there earlier for the warm-up. And then you play from 9 to 1 until the match is done. And then you got the next team coming, you know, men and women. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you're so tired, you know, like you can barely stay up, but, you know, it's worth it. But, I mean, it just goes from Tuesday to Saturday. And if you keep winning, you know, you keep kind of getting more tired. But, I mean, it's definitely worth it, especially if you're kind of playing for the finals, you know, for the national titles.
Yeah, Coach, you sound like a coach that gets in there and gets involved with his players and likes to watch a dual match unfold.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I love tennis. I love college tennis. I was watching you know, online, all the divisions that I could. I watched the D2, the D3, the D1. Obviously, the final of our match was also broadcasted. So, you know, I try to watch it as much as possible. I like to scout a little bit. I was watching some of our opponents. And, you know, I really like to be there. And you know, I'm very, very into tennis, you know, and not only as a player, but as a coach. I like to be there, give them support. I like to be part of it. I love the competition. I mean, I really love college tennis, you know.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Now, Coach, let's talk about those teams just a little bit. You are a four-year school there at AUM. How many players do you end up losing from these teams this year?
Yeah, that's actually a very good note, because, you know, every year you got to kind of keep developing your team. You lose some players, and, you know, this year we lose, you know, a couple of top seniors, my number three or number five. So, you know, I'm trying to replace them with a couple of solid players. And on the guys, I lose my 2-1-3. So that's always tough. But with the guys, I have a little bit more depth. And with the girls, you know, I just had like six girls. So losing two, I just got to kind of renew, you know, because it's tougher to recruit girls than it is guys nowadays. But, you know, we should be fine. Like I said, AUM is a very competitive program. We have a lot of people interested, and, you know, we have American kids interested, and we're also applying for NCAA D2, so that's also going to help on the domestic kids. You know, we're trying to bring more domestic kids because, you know, we have foreigners, and that's great. They really appreciate the tradition, the program, but, you know, some of these local kids should also be interested. You know, that's my goal, to bring a couple of American kids here into a program, because they're also, you know, big assets. You know, they're talented, and here in the South there's a lot of talent in the American kids. So that's what we're hoping for in the future.
Outstanding, Coach. So you're letting us know that your university is applying for Division II status. Is that a current thing that it undergoes? Have you already been approved, or how does that work for your school?
Well, it takes a little bit of time. It's a process. They came and they check, you know, they compare it to other D2 programs to see if we're a good fit. They also see, like, location, you know, where we could be playing, but conferences. And so far it's been good. You know, we're very well located in a couple of strong conferences, probably the top two conferences in D2. And budgets, we're up there. I mean, we're doing very good with budgets. Facilities, we're doing great as well. And, you know, it just takes a little time. The application was done in February, and they should let us know about July. I mean, I know the athletic director is doing all this budget and financial things that he has to submit. And so far it's been good. But we'll still play next year in the NAIA. And then if they tell us July that we've been accepted, then we'll probably be going NCAA after that next year. You know, we'll still play in AIA. It takes a little bit of a transition to move into the NCAA. So we're looking forward to it. I mean, we're doing great in NAIA. The conference is really good here in AIA. But if we make the move there to NCAA, it will make it a little bit competitive for us as well. So no matter where we are, we're looking forward for the future.
Yeah, Coach, it sounds like there's a lot of good movement there at your school. And I know traditionally you guys are a tennis powerhouse, so that makes that transition just a little bit easier, because you have a name behind you when you do make that move, and you'll be able to keep attracting good quality players to your program. Do you think that this is? I mean, do you feel good about this process? Do you think it's something that is going to happen?
I mean, I, to be honest, I feel good about the process. But, you know, it takes a little bit of time, you know, to kind of, you know, get that feeling of the NCAA. I mean, we're already playing a lot of D2 teams, but then having my players not playing for a conference tournament or for a national championship is going to be tough. But, you know, they know where they're at. I mean, they know we have a very competitive schedule. They know they're going to have good matches. They're having great education here at AUM. And they know they're traveling to good places, like, play against good teams. So I think that transition is going to make it a little bit smoother, but it's definitely going to take a little bit of time, you know, to kind of get adjusted, you know. But I'm looking forward to it. I think that's going to be great for where we want to be, you know, because we want to be, you know, a powerhouse not only in NAIA but everywhere. You know, if we make it in NCAA, we want to be a powerhouse there too, but it'll be tougher. But you know, it's just about the kids. We just want to challenge the kids. We want them to be happy where they are, getting great education, playing the best teams in the country, and, you know, having them grow as people as well.
Yeah, well, Coach, well, now you mentioned you were losing some seniors, so I have to ask, how is the recruiting going? Have you reloaded your teams?
Yes. I'll tell you a little bit about my team. We'll have my number one on the guys. We'll have my number one back. Nicolas Piñones is doing very good. And then I think my number four, Miguel, before from Argentina, can move to two. Then I have Sino Juini from Tunisia. He'll probably move up. He's talented enough to play a four or three. And then we have Adman Lalami from Morocco. He had an outstanding season. He won his match against Ember Riddle in the final. So I think they're all looking forward to kind of move up in the lineup. I have two new players coming. I have a French kid, Clement. He's a very solid player. And then I have a kid from Australia. So it looks like we're going to be fine with the guys. I may bring another solid player from Spain. So far I have seven players. And I have really good depth. They're all very close. So that makes practice really good, you know. They're all pushing
right.
each other up. With the girls, I have my one back. I have my four back. And I have my number six back, so I just got to kind of find my middle of the lineup, and I already have a strong player from Australia. I have a girl from Argentina that's a strong player there in their countries. And I have a girl from Czech Republic. So we basically have players from everywhere. My number one is from England, Jay Curtis, undefeated. She's doing really good. My girl is returning from Australia. And I girl from Colombia. So, you know, we definitely have a lot of cultures in the program.
Yeah, well, that definitely helps shape the flavor of that program there, Coach. I'm going to guess that those practices are full of hard workers.
No, definitely. You know, the first practices are kind of like a little tricky, you know, because they're getting to know each other. The cultures are different. The languages are different sometimes. They don't speak as good English. I mean, they meet the standards. They do really good, but sometimes they don't have that confidence to speak it as good. But, you know that they relate in tennis. They know that they've been practicing the same amount of years. So that's what kind of relates them, and they push each other up. And then it just takes a couple of weeks for them to get really adjusted, to get that team chemistry going. And, you know, it's good to have talent from all over the world, because then they push each other up and they try to get the best out of each other.
Yeah. And you get back from nationals, you're the national champion, and then do you take some time off, Coach, or how does it work for you? What do you do to unwind a little bit from all that?
Well, I mean, it's a great feeling to come back after nationals, winning it. But, you know, I just got to come back and do what I do. You know, I got to get here in the office, schedule matches, work on the new players that are coming, getting them registered for classes, getting them, you know, with the information they need. We have a lot of meetings, getting summer camps. I have a summer camp as well starting next week. I just want to kind of keep promoting not only my program, not only AUM, but tennis as a whole. You know, I really love tennis. And it's a great thing for the new kids, the new generations, to kind of get used to play good. We need some American kid to start doing real good. We need future generations, and it starts from everybody, the coaches out there. So I want to kind of get as many kids as possible to the court, elementary kids, elementary school. I go to elementary schools. I go to YMCA to try to get more people interested. So, I mean, I just come back and, you know, still go back to work, go back to tennis, you know. That's kind of what I enjoy doing.
Yeah, it sounds like it, Coach. Not just a tennis coach, but more like a tennis teacher.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to be a tennis coach, but then also a tennis teacher. You got to kind of, you know, go back to the basics, you know. You got to get kids. You know, I want to recruit players, then you can probably start from the little kids already, you know. You start planting that seed in those kids, and maybe later on they'll grow and want to come here. So it all starts from the beginning. It starts from teaching tennis. It starts from going to the community and do community services, show up there and do other things, you know, to kind of keep everybody interested, you know, because I really enjoy being a college coach. I mean, that's one of the greatest things here in the United States, just how competitive the sports are and just being part of it. I mean, it makes me proud. It's I'm fortunate to be a college coach. I'm fortunate to be involved with tennis because tennis is a great sport. I really enjoy it.
Now, Coach, I'm going to imagine that some of your players take some summer school and stay there in Alabama to train. Is that correct?
Yes, for sure. You know, I have a couple of players, you know, taking some classes, and they still kind of practice in the summer. They want to kind of stay in shape. And that's kind of like something that's really good about Alabama, about AUM, is that the weather is always good, you know. I mean, obviously it gets a little hot, but, you know, it's always good to practice in the heat, you know. It gets you fitter, gets you stronger. So, you know, some of these players that stay, they want to practice, they want to get better. I mean, I know my guys' team, they're looking forward for next year already. You know, they had a tough loss there, but they're already hungrier to kind of do well next year. So, you know, all these summer kids that stay, they really practice and they want to improve their games.
Now, Coach, I'm going to ask, how do you have a success rate of some of your kids leaving school and turning to the professional ranks?
Well, some of them do, actually. Obviously, before I was here, Wesley Moody was part of AUM, I think, in 1999 or 2000, and he ended up winning Wimbledon. But just recently, my former number one, she was number one in the nation last year. She's playing pro right now. She's playing Fed Cup for her country in Serbia. I think it's actually Serbia and Montenegro. And she won a couple of tournaments already. So she's actually playing professionally. She's doing well. And, you know, like I said, she's playing for her Fed Cup. So, yeah, we have a couple of players that, you know, want to turn pro afterwards. No question.
Well, you know, the reason I ask, Coach, is I want people to understand that the level of tennis that you're dealing with at Auburn University in Montgomery is spectacular. I mean, this is borderline professional tennis, don't you think, Coach?
I mean, some of these players could definitely play the professional tournaments as amateurs. You know, I have a couple of players that were top 20 in the world juniors. They played Roland Garros when they were kids. Some of them were already playing as amateurs in tournaments. What that means is, like, they can compete in that tournament, but they cannot receive the money, or they got to show it as reimbursement. But some of these players already played against Juan Martín del Potro or Kim Clijsters. Some of these players already have that experience when they were juniors. And definitely, I mean, some of these players are as strong as anybody in the nation at any level in college.
Yeah, it must be fun to coach those kids.
I mean, it is fun, but, you know, sometimes they also, they're high maintenance, you know, but, I mean, it's kind of good to have good kids that play good, but that want to get better, you know, so it makes practice more challenging, not only for them, but for me, you know. I'm fortunate, like I said, to be in a team like this. So every time I go to practice, I'm really excited. Every day that I go on the court, I'm excited because the players really practice hard. It makes it easier to coach, you know, because they have it in them. They have that motivation in them. And those who are not having a very good day or not that motivated, they get that motivation from their own teammates. So, yeah, the level of playing in practice is really good, and they're willing to get better. And I have actually seen very good players get better within a couple of years. My number one, like I said, Nicolas, you know, he's gotten better, and he's a junior next year, so we have him still for two more years, so he's going to be a great captain for us. So they're definitely improving with every practice they have.
Yeah. Well, I like what you had to say there, Coach. Now, as you travel through this and you get ready for next season, when do you get started? What month do you get started in the fall?
Well, you know, the cool thing about tennis in college is that, you know, you can actually play in the fall. We're definitely a spring sport, and, you know, that's kind of when our season is going. But in the fall, there's also a couple of key tournaments. There's like regionals, there's nationals, and, you know, that happens in all levels. But for us in NAIA, we have a very important tournament, which is regionals. And after winning regionals, they get to go to nationals, where all the Division II, Division III junior colleges go. You know, so if you win your division, then you go into the Super Bowl, which is the best player from every division. So it gets very, very competitive, you know, and you have very good players. And whoever wins the Super Bowl gets to go to the National Indoors in New York. And I had one of my players win that 2 years ago, the girl that just playing pro right now. And we experienced playing matches against Stanford. She played against Mallory Baudet, who turned pro, and she's playing the French Open. I think she won her first round. And we also got to play against UCLA, a girl, her name is Robin Anderson, that I think she's ranked top three in the nation. Very good player.
Wow.
So, I mean, you are still in these small colleges, but then you can get to experience grade level, and at some point you can have the chance to play against these Division One players as well. So, I mean, that's what we have in the fall, which makes it very interesting. My players are already looking forward for the fall. And then, obviously, in the spring, we have all these matches, all these traveling, and, you know, looking forward for the national championship and all that. But it's cool that in tennis, you still get to play very good tournaments in the fall as an individual. You don't play as a team, but you play as an individual. You can go to regionals and play your own teammates, you know, so that's the tricky part. But, you know, it's also very good, you know, that they're looking forward for that experience, you know, as an individual to represent their school, to represent, in our case, AUM, and trying to kind of go there to the national indoors against the best teams in the nation at any level.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Coach, I remember when I was at the Lee College over in Maytown that Auburn University used to have, at Montgomery there, used to have a blue-gray tournament. Do you guys still have that blue-gray tournament?
Well, we used to have it. You know, when I came 3 years ago, I tried to have it again, but some of these colleges were struggling financially. They didn't have the budgets because we had teams from California, Texas, travel. I remember Santa Clara and teams from far away, and they couldn't make it. But what we have a spring invitational, you know, and we had teams, the best NAIA teams come, and we try to have a fall invitational where we invite them. So those teams that cannot come, you know, maybe they can send a few of their players to come, you know, because they don't have big budgets. They can still send a one or two players to play individually.
Sure. Well, it just sounds like that you've been given a lot of support there at AUM. I know that it is a one of those schools in America where tennis gets a lot of recognition, and I thank you for what you do there.
Oh, no, I'm lucky enough to be in a program like AUM. Like I say, I'm really proud of being a Warhawk here at AUM. It's a great program, and, you know, tennis is very, 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 very good here in AUM. I mean, there's a lot of tradition. So, you know, I get a lot of support from all the staff, all the teachers, all the people that work here, from the students, from the community. You know, that makes it, you know, simpler for me, you know. I mean, I know we're the ones that get the recognition of winning the titles, but there's a lot of people behind it that kind of help us out with, you know, the boosters, fundraising. When they come and support my players when they're having a tough match, obviously, you know, when we have to reschedule and we got to kind of get the boss, the staff, my athletic director, Steve Krotz, you know, they help us out with buses and adjusting all these rescheduling. So, you know, it's not only the coach that's doing all these things. There's so many people behind that really help. So, I mean, I'm very thankful for what they do. And I really love it here. It's a great program. It's a great place. Education is good. So, you know, we just want to keep it, kind of make it better and better every year.
Well, Coach, well, let's jump ahead just a little bit. Let's get back into August. And what do you think for next year? Are you going to be one of those teams that contends for the title a year from now?
I mean, that's the thing about AUM. I mean, every player that comes here, they know the expectation. I mean, we're here to play for national titles, but also they got to focus on their classes, you know. But, you know, as it is, it looks like we should be playing for national titles again. We have a new restructure in players, obviously losing a couple of seniors. But the ones that are coming are excited. They're very good players. They're talented. And we should still be in contention for national titles. But like I said, I try not only to bring the best players athletically, but also good students. It's really important for them to understand that their education is priority and they're getting great education here. And they got to learn how to balance that. You know, they got to do good in both. It's hard to kind of just do good in academics and not do good in tennis. Or doing really good in tennis and not do good in academics. You know, they gotta find that balance. It's really important, and that all comes with time management, responsibility, and all those values of, you know, integrity, responsibility that the NAIA kind of promotes.
Yeah, Coach, does your team have a strong academic record there?
Yes, I mean I can tell you that I'm proud also to have the highest athletic team in GPA with the guys. They have a 3.4 GPA, about something like that. So as a team, to be number two in the nation, being really close to win the national championship, and then have a team with a great GPA, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. And the girls were also very close to a 3.0. So, you know, we won it there. My number one girl has a 4.0 GPA, she had a 4.0 GPA this past semester. I'm my number one guy, that's a 4.0 GPA cumulative, you know. So it's really good to know that not only they're great players, but they're great students.
Yeah. Well, Coach, you've been doing a wonderful job there at the university, and just 3 years. That's fantastic. I think I know the answer to this, but you going to keep coming back and doing what you do there?
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate those kind words. Well, yeah, I mean, I really love it here. You know, like I said, you know, the team is competitive, but they're also very nice kids, you know. You know, they're leaving their countries, and, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit of time to adjust to live alone, you know, to make friendships, to start talking in a different language. And, you know, I really enjoyed helping them, guiding them, for them not to only be successful in tennis, but in life. You know, that's the bottom line. That's my philosophy, to get them ready for real life, you know. And, you know, I really like being here, and I'm looking forward for the next years to come.
Hey, Coach, well, I really appreciate you coming on the air today. Now, I have to ask, I mean, some of my listeners, they just don't have any idea about Auburn University at Montgomery. So would you be so kind as to give them an email address that they might be able to get in touch with you at?
Yeah, definitely. You can also search at the website, aumathletics.com. You can always follow us there. You can see results about, you know, tennis, everything, how we're doing, All-Americans. We had a lot of All-Americans in the guys and with the girls. And you can always get in touch with me. My email is rvargas@aum.edu, V as in Victor, ARGAS@aum.edu. So it's rvargas@aum.edu.
Yeah. And, Coach, for those listeners that are maybe international here, you know, I'm curious, what requirements are there for these international kids to get into your program?
Well, it's actually pretty straightforward. They need to take the TOEFL, you know, if they're not English, if English is not the first language. If they're from Australia or England or, you know, places where English is the first language, all they need to do is take the SAT, score at least a 450 in the critical reading section. That'll make it. If you're an international, that you need to take the TOEFL, you need to get a 61. And you don't really need to take the SAT. It's either one of them, you know. It's either 61 in the TOEFL or 450 in the critical reading section. And obviously, you will have to go through the clearinghouse as well, the playnaia.org. And there they ask for the SAT. But if you finish in your top 50 percentile, then all you need to do is submit a letter from your school saying that you finished there, and you don't need to take the SAT. So that's all they need to do here for admissions in AUM. Obviously, they need to translate their their grades, and you know, the process is pretty straight, simple. It's not too hard.
Well, I can remember when I was there at Lee, and just like you, the idea is to get the information to me, and then I can get through this just as quickly as possible, and help the kids out, because you're right, they need a TOEFL score. They need to take that English as a second language exam, and they need to at least show some academic credentials there to get into the school. So,
yeah, for sure. I mean, if you want to bring kids, for them to do well in class, you got to see how good they do in those exams. You know, they could be the best players, but if they're struggling with the English, then they're going to struggle in class. So, and it's really important for them to know that they got to do good in their TOEFL, do good in their SAT, so that, you know, they're getting good, they're doing good in their academic process, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Coach, just an outstanding year for you. You were very close to doing what can hardly be done, and that's to get both teams to the final and to get both teams a championship. You were very close, and quite an honor for you and your school this year.
Yeah, I mean, I was very, very happy with the way they played. I mean, obviously, it was a heartbreaker that we couldn't win it with the guys. You know, we had it. We had 3 match points. We were so close, tiebreak. But, you know, in a tiebreak, anything can happen. But what made me the most proud was the way my team handled themselves, you know. They respected their opponents. They respected everybody. And, you know, sometimes in those situations when it's so close and you don't win, then sometimes you can lose your focus, you can lose your cool. But then I was very happy with the way they handled themselves, and they represent themselves very well. AUM, they represented very well. So, you know, yeah, it was a bummer that we couldn't win it. But, you know, the way they handled themselves, it was really good. And with the girls, you know, we were able to win it. So, you know, there's always a next year, you know, and I was very happy with, you know, the way the guys turned it around from last year, where, you know, we had a young team. We went, I think, 18-7 or something like that. We had a couple of losses. And this year, to turn it around and go, I believe, 22-4, you know, or 21-4, something like that. I mean, it was really, really outstanding, you know. So it's just giving us more experience. You know, it's making us tougher for the next years to come. Yeah, it's actually 21-4. That was a record this year with the guys. So, I mean, we cannot really take that for granted. I mean, obviously, we didn't win the national title, but we had a great year that we're going to build up upon on it. So that's what we're going to try to do.
And, Coach, well, I look forward to visiting. This is the first time you and I have got a chance to visit, and I look forward to having you back on in the fall when we get close to that small college. I love staying in touch with the college tennis scene and offering a chance here to let people kind of on the outside world here know that there is a great group of competitive players and teams and coaches out there that need their stories told, and I'm glad we made the connection today.
Yeah, definitely. You can always get in touch with me, call me or email me. I really appreciate the invitation, and I know you were very successful in your junior college years, and you know, it's really very nice to kind of share these experiences, these thoughts with you. And, you know, anytime you need anything, feel free to get in touch with me. Really appreciate the invitation.
I really appreciate it, and I want you to have a great day.
Okay, you too. Have a great day to all of you. Take care.
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, Coach Rolando Vargas. He is out at Auburn University in Montgomery, and just an outstanding tennis program. It is rich in tradition when it comes to tennis. And we have looked into moving up to Division II. It is a transition that I think they can make with ease, especially in the tennis world. They've got some great players there, and then for them to reach out into the local community is outstanding to get some more American players there. So I want to wish them the best of luck with all of that, and we look forward to getting Coach Vargas on again in the future. You know, he talks about the small college, and you know that we love that event. We just wish there were more interdivisional type events out there, but we'll get him back on and see if he's in there with the mix of those other coaches that we talked to, and and let him give us kind of the inside scoop. We might as well look at it. That's what this is for. So I want to thank you for tuning in today. Next Wednesday, and remember, it's All American Wednesdays here on the UR Tennis Network. American Tennis with Chuck Creasy was on earlier today. You need to go check it out if you haven't done that. Tomorrow's the Bruce Lipka Show, and then we got Minorities in Tennis on Saturday, and then we're looking at other shows Monday. Parenting Aces with Lisa Stone. Talking to a person tomorrow about a new show I'm very excited about. So we're going to keep bringing you new ideas, new shows here, and hopefully you'll keep tuning in. We know that we found kind of our niche, and we enjoy it, and we look forward to bringing you those stories that interest you and interest us each week. I want to thank you for coming on today. Now, before I go today, you got to forgive me. I forgot to play my second commercial. I'm going to play my commercial, my disclaimer, but you won't hear me talk again, so everybody have a great day and hit some tennis balls.
Alternative Lighting and Power is a renewable energy solutions-focused company with an emphasis in helping athletic facilities. We would like to upgrade your tennis complex to the 21st century. We offer a range of services that will upgrade your tennis complex. We can use our technology to make your facility virtually disappear from the energy grid. We can provide lights, scoreboards, scoring systems, cooling systems, heating systems, camera systems, covered seating areas, wastewater management, and even new buildings. Our company is located in Houston, Texas, but we provide services to all 50 states and internationally. We would love to visit with you about our opportunities. Please contact Ed Love at 832-549-4193 or email at elove@alternativel-p.com. You can also visit our website at www.alternativel-p.com. We are the sunny side of business.
Mm-hmm. Opinions stated by various contributors to the UR Tennis Network and its programming are not to be considered as endorsed by the UR Tennis Network. Participants are encouraged to use their own discernments and draw their own conclusions. All information, products, and services offered by the UR Tennis Network are for personal use only. The UR Tennis Network does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of information contained within the network. Any products or services provided for should be used solely for entertainment purposes. We emphasize the idea of keeping an open mind and not construing the products, services, or data as factual.